This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A bill moving through the state Senate would force Duke Energy to close all 33 of its coal ash ponds in North Carolina in 15 years. The Senate's plan lays out a timeline for Duke to close the ponds, adds more oversight positions, and puts some restrictions on rate increases. Part of an ongoing discussion in response to the 39,000 tons of ash that spilled into the Dan River earlier this year. WUNC Capitol reporter Jorge Valencia has been following the story and joins us now from Raleigh. Hello, Jorge.
Hello from the Capitol, Frank.
Tell us about the scope of this plan in the Senate right now.
Well, Duke Energy has 33 coal ash ponds across North Carolina, and key members of the Senate have a bill in which they would mandate for Duke to close four of these ponds, four highest-risk ponds. These are near Wilmington, near Charlotte, near Asheville, and the one over by the Dan River where the spill happened earlier this year, to close them by 2019 and to remove all of the coal ash and take it elsewhere, be it a dry storage or be it for to sell it from sort of some sort of productive use for the coal ash, such as concrete manufacturing. And then the rest of the 33 ponds would be classified as either low risk, medium risk, or high risk. So these high risk ones would also have to be dealt with by 2019. The medium risk ones would have to be dealt with by 2024, and the lower risk ones by 2029. So it would give them roughly 15 years for that. And in some of these lower risk ones, the way that they would handle the coal ash could be different. Duke could, instead of excavating all of the coal ash, and we're talking about thousands of tons, they could drain out all the water that's in the pond, cover it with dirt, and put in some sort of groundwater monitoring system so that they can be sure that there isn't any groundwater contamination from this coal ash, or if it happens, that they find out as soon as it does.
All right, so you've got this staged removal of coal ash ponds over a 15-year period, starting with the most dangerous or the highest risk, and various plans. Again, what all would happen to the coal ash itself? Some of it would be reused. It can be put in concrete, and others, as you say, just capped. So there's a variety of ways in which they handle all of this, right? And then as part of this, of course, then the question is, well, who's going to oversee all this and make sure that Duke Energy is actually doing the job? How does the Senate plan to account for all this and hold Duke accountable for these closures over the 15 years should this bill pass?
Well, the Senate recognizes that this is a large endeavor. So they are setting up for there to be 29 positions added to state government to oversee this. 24 of them would be with the State Department of Environment and Natural Resources, and four would be permanent staff members with a commission of appointees that this bill would also create. So and those appointees are separate from that, there are nine people who presumably would be some sort of experts in this field that would also be part of overseeing this. And part of this bill also provides for Duke Energy, the utility company, to have to pay for the government in order to be able to create these jobs and pay for these people to oversee this process.
All right. So 25 additions to DENR itself, and then an additional a group that would be a separate panel. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So that's a fair amount of oversight. Then the question is, who pays for all of this? Does the Senate bill account for that?
Well, it accounts for it to a certain extent. The bill, if it became law, would immediately put a moratorium on any rate increases from the utility company until 2015. And it also blocks Duke from passing on the cost to customers of anything that, any losses pertaining to coal ash spills. Now, after the moratorium ends, it's still possible that Duke Energy could petition the State Utilities Commission, which is the one that gives them permission to raise rates whenever they raise rates. They could then petition them to see if they could raise the rates. The thing is that, Frank, is that we don't have an independent objective estimate of how much this costs, but Duke has given their own estimate for this. And they said, if we had to excavate these 100 million tons of coal ash from the 33 ponds we have across the state, it would cost $10 billion, or up to $10 billion. Now, is it really going to cost that much? You know, we don't know for anybody outside of the company. But the company is saying that is that that's how much it could be.
Yeah, and you've got a couple of problems here, right? I mean, a couple of issues that we need to keep clear. One is, this bill would say you can't pass on the cost of the Dan River cleanup. That is not the same as the cost of emptying these ponds.
Yes. I mean, we should, you know, we should separate those two. You know, the cost of dealing with the ponds, the ash that's there, and all 33 of them, that's something separate from the cleanup because, you know, we had 39,000 tons of coal ash that spilled from this pond next to the Dan River. They covered like 70 miles of the river in like gray sludge. And so, somebody's going to clean that up. Duke has said that they're going to deal with that. And, you know, they said that they're not going to pass that cost to consumers. But, this bill sort of like makes that a formal thing.
All right. And you said moratorium on a rate hike request until 2015. Well, that's 6 months from now. And so obviously very soon. Right. And you don't get an invoice that says to Duke Energy, clean up Dan River X amount the Utilities Commission could look at and say, oh, no, you're putting that. So, of course, accountants, I mean, this is going to be part of the problem is figuring out when you look at Duke's books, how have they accounted for cleanup and also the coal ash pond removal itself, which is another separate cost and not really addressed directly. If I understand you right, the coal up the pond cleanup and removal, it would not be included in this prohibition by the Senate.
Yes, it's still possible that Duke could petition for that.
How does this compare, the Senate's plan, to the plan that Governor McCrory wants?
Well, there are some differences, and just before we talk about that, I should say that the people that are behind the Senate's bill are two of the Senate's most influential members. One of them is Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger. He lives in Eden, which is where this spill happened in February. And the other one is Senator Tom Apodaca, and he lives in Hendersonville, which is near Asheville, and is the site of two of these coal ash ponds. In particular, they're some of the ones that are of the highest risk. So while what we're talking about right now is perhaps could be a little bit tentative, you know, we should know that like it's probably going to carry a good amount of weight because we have like two of the most influential people in the building where I'm standing right now that are behind this. Now, the governor did put forward a proposal on what he thought should be done, and he did it, you know, long before the Senate did theirs. The Senate heard it. They were diplomatic about it. But this goes a little bit further because the governor did require Duke to do something with these four initial ponds. And it would require them to do something with the remaining ponds. But they didn't set up a timeline, this 5, 10, 15-year tiered timeline that the Senate is proposing. Now, yesterday there was actually a hearing about this in a Senate committee. And the senators were, you know, seemed to be mostly favorable about this. And really the only people who sort of were presented any pushback was Duke Energy themselves. They had one of their executives. His name is George Everett. He was very diplomatic about it. But the word that he was using about this timeline, that's the difference between the Senate and the governor's proposals, he was saying that this timeline is, quote, very aggressive. In other words, he's saying, like, you know, we're not sure exactly how we would do this in, 5, 10, 15 years because, you know, Duke has said that, for instance, their biggest coal ash pond, if they were to remove all of the coal ash from there, it would take them 30 years to do it. And so here, you know, the Senate is coming forward and saying, like, you know, we want more. We want a lot more because we want all of them taken care of within 15 years.
All right. So Duke Energy says the Senate plan far too aggressive. The governor's plan doesn't have a timeline, doesn't call for all 33 ponds to be cleaned up, and doesn't talk at all about who pays for it. So those are kind of some key differences there. So what do environmentalists think about all this?
Well, we've had some, you know, we actually had a proposal come forth from Representative Pricey Harrison. She's a Democrat from Greensboro. And hers sort of mirrors a lot of what some of the environmental observers and conservationists have said. And they're pretty clear that they believe that the only way to prevent any future coal ash spills like the one we saw earlier this year or any groundwater contamination from this coal ash is to remove the coal ash from all 33 of the ponds, take it to dry storage, or convert it into something that could be used productively. And they also don't want the consumers to have to pay for any of this cost. I mean, it's going to be an expensive process, but, you know, what some of the environmental observers have said is that, like, you know, this is a byproduct of you know, burning coal to generate energy over most of the past century, and Duke Energy has gotten dividends from that. And so consumers shouldn't be paying for that now.
All right, Jorge, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Likewise, Frank. Thanks.
Jorge Valencia, Capitol reporter for WUNC, been following developments in the legislature and the coal ash regulation debate that's going on right now. And just ahead, a new documentary about the history of coal ash and its effects. You'll hear it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.